Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report. Boy, I tell you what, this week could not have ended any sooner. How about for you? Welcome to the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. That's the website to go to, HagmanReport.com. Remember, two N's on Hagman. What a week. Something that happened on Wednesday, of course. If you caught the program on Wednesday, one thing I did leave out, and I just, I want to open the show and just, a good friend of mine, his name was Lou. I've known him for 45 years, passed away on Wednesday. And how I found out, it was sudden, how I found out was a communication that I sent him was answered. I expected him to answer the communication, and he sent it back, it was sent back, and actually it was a phone call, and I saw his number. I picked it up, and I said, "Hey, how you doing, buddy? How you doing, Lou?" And it was his daughter just crying, saying, "No, it's not my dad. It's..." I'll leave her name out of it. And so a good friend of mine passed away this week. And that, on top of the medical appointment, which I outlined in the first segment of Wednesday, and that was Wednesday when he passed. And so I've got to tell you, the fight is on. We are fully engaged. And, of course, Anthony Fauci, you know, we're prepared to start delivering variant-specific booster vaccines. What are you, friggin' crazy? Are you guys nuts? You know, I am so pissed off at ending the week. I am so pissed off because these globalist MFers have screwed everything up. They have broken everything. As a matter of fact, Alex, how do you feel about it? Oh, hang on. It's loading. Okay, I guess that a little premature there. See, this is the week that was, right? Okay, here it is. How do you feel about it? And this, let me contextualize this, because earlier this week, and of course, the ongoing Ukraine, Russia, Biden, the globalist bastards who want to take over the world, who think that they're the rulers of the world, that make decisions for you, because you and I, we're not capable of making our own decisions. Of course, now, you know, you remember Trump, Ma Russia, right? And Hunter, let's not forget Hunter Biden. By the way, hey, FBI, I still have a hard drive here for you. Hunter Biden's hard drive. You interested? What? Is Hunter Biden's hard drive like an FBI an FBI repellent, like, you know, a crucifix is to a vampire? Is that what it is? Because I got the hard drive in my office. You want it? And I got another hard drive squirreled away somewhere. And I sent, by the way, I sent Ted Brewer the other hard drive. But don't tell anyone. But, Alex, how do you feel about all this? This echoes my sentiment. Here it is.
You're not tough. You're a piece of filth. And you're dangerous. Bastards. Gonna blow everything up, you maniacs. I have children. So just because you damn teleprompter-reading lawyer filth think it's all cute and funny, it's not. Stop killing us. Stop wrecking everything. Stop crapping all over us, because you've got to dominate the world and you've got a right to run everybody's country. No, you don't, you little monster.
So the world as you know it has changed. You think we're going to go back to the old way? No. And we're never going back. These people are never backing down. They're too dogmatic. I saw it yesterday. Wednesday. It's like one big day, one big blur. But with me right now is Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Never in the history of this program has healthmasters.com been more relevant or important. And aside from the product line, now I'm going to just stay with me here, because this is a battle of our bodies, of our health, of our future, that of our children's future. You better start realizing that we need to take control of our own bodies. And what they are doing to us, they are killing us. They are killing us. They've killed my friends. It is murder, folks. So you need to stay healthy, and you need to have a just an incredibly strong immune system. but you can't do it with shellac crap that you get from Walmart, CVS, or any other place. And those are just examples. I'm not picking on them. But if you're getting your nutritional supplements from Walmart, then you know what? You're not doing yourself any favors. So go to healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com right now. I believe in these products. I take the products. I've seen them work. I've seen my blood sugar situation get regulated by these products, not by pharmaceuticals. I ain't paying Pfizer, okay? But by these products, this is, and I can't say enough about their vitamin D3, K2 regimen, which, by the way, okay, now, healthmasters.com, that's the place to go. Ted Brewer's on with me. But before I bring him on, I want to play this clip. It's clip one. It's only a minute and a half. Dr. Brewer, just hang with me just for a second. Ted Brewer's on deck here. Hang with me. You're going to find this very relevant. That you've been, and this, you've been saying this for like forever. But hey, you know, maybe people are going to start listening. Go ahead and play clip one. Minute and a half.
Continue on.
Right, absolutely. And so look at this study here. This was a study, it's called COVID-19 Mortality Risk Correlates Inversely with Vitamin D3 Status. These are results of a systematic review and meta-analysis. So these researchers were looking at all the available data out there, all the available research, and this is what they looked at. This is the background of the study they wrote. Much research shows that blood D3 levels correlate strongly with SARS-CoV-2 infection severity. There is an open discussion regarding whether low D3 is caused by the infection or if deficiency negatively affects immune defense. So they found here, now this is the point that should be on every headline. Regression suggested a theoretical point of zero mortality at approximately 50 nanograms a milliliters of D3. That's the blood levels. And wow. They concluded, the data sets provide strong evidence that low D3 is a predictor rather than just a side effect of the infection. Despite ongoing vaccinations, we recommend rising serum 25OHD levels. That's basically the major circulating form of vitamin D in the body. Yep. We recommend raising serum 25OHD levels to above 50 nanograms a milliliter to prevent or mitigate new outbreaks due to escape mutations or decreasing antibody activity.
Wow. So the question there was, is the D3 disappearing because of the virus, or did you not have enough and that's why you caught it? And what they came to the determination was that it appears that low D3 levels made you vulnerable to severe disease. And they're saying, and I know they're very careful to say, we're not saying it's a cure, but it looks like anybody that had vitamin D levels above that 50 nanograms per liter did not die. It took away any risk of dying from this virus.
All right, and then as we bring Dr. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com, what I heard in that was get your immune system supported. Vitamin D3, very important. D3, K2, which is the only vitamin D I take, and my wife does too. And I got to tell you, her levels of D, she had insufficient D levels when they did blood work. And now this was, I should preface this, this is a couple of years ago. She's been taking D3, K2, and her blood levels of D were above their norms. So, I mean, it was a good thing. And the only thing she takes is Health Masters, healthmasters.com. And put that page up real quick, if you don't mind. This is from a website. Link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. COVID-19 early treatment, real-time analysis of 1,185 studies. The second graph there. Look at this. Early treatment studies, pooled effects. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4 down, 86% improvement with vitamin D. This, of course, meaning is starting from like basically ground zero. So you've got this is people who are infected. They're treating with vitamin D early, and they're showing an 86% level of improvement with that. So if this isn't a sales pitch by itself, if that graph isn't a sales pitch for your immune system, I don't know what is. The only place to go, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Dr. Ted Brewer, I'm tired. I don't mean to take your time or take time away from you. So come on board and let's rock.
Whoa.
Are you okay? Are you sleeping or what?
No, I'm just enjoying listening to you talk. I enjoy your show. You do such an excellent job every single day. Let me just share something with you. I mean, I've had multiple friends die now. Bob is dead. Jimmy is dead. Dennis is dead. I mean, they're all dead. And it's all from this quote-unquote bioweapon they've released. And I'm sure that every single one of them had insufficient levels of vitamin D3. And if you have 50 nanograms per milliliter of vitamin D in your system, it makes it almost impossible for any kind of viral load to come against you or to cause you to have problems such as, you know, having your lungs fill with fluid. What people don't realize is back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, when we had this swine flu epidemic that killed, what, 40, 50 million people globally, the main reason these people died wasn't from the flu. It was from what's called a cytokine storm causing their lungs to fill with fluid. They came down with pneumonia. And the reason that happens is that if, let's say, for instance, you've got a you got a vitamin D3 molecule.
I don't mean to, because you're showing visual aids here. Do me a favor, put your camera so you look like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids there in your chair. So put your camera kind of down.
Sure.
Sure. There you go. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Oh, okay. Now we're good. All right.
Okay. Let's say this is a macrophage, just a specialized white blood cell. Actually, it's my cup that I drink water out of, my stainless steel cup. And let's say this thing sees a cell down here that's basically a virus or a cancer cell or anything. This is a specialized white blood cell called a macrophage. The problem is it's not turned on all the time because the body doesn't want to run around, you know, eating things and killing things. So it has to switch it on. Let's say there's two switches here on top that basically have to be turned on with a key. And that key is vitamin D3. It's like a safety switch. It's not just one molecule of D3, it's two. So it has to be like, you know, you see these places in the bunkers where they're releasing missiles, and they have to have two guys turn the key at the same time just to make sure they don't release a missile by accident. This is how specialized our body has made a macrophage. And so two vitamin D molecules have to attach and flip on both at the same time to allow this to go and become a killer cell to destroy the virus or the cancer particle. Here's the problem. If the vitamin D won't attach to this one, it won't attach to this one because it's not existent, which most people are deficient in vitamin D, hence chemtrails have stopped, blocked sunshine. Hence, people use sunscreen all the time. Hence, people won't go out in the sun, on and on and on. What ends up happening is this macrophage here is looking down at this molecule and saying, I've got to kill it, but I can't because I don't have an on switch. So it freaks out. This little macrophage freaks out, and it has like a little ejection sites in it and releases what's called a cytokine. They're like little flare guns. So it squeezes a button, so to speak, metaphorically, and all of a sudden these chemical messengers were released all around it and they get into the bloodstream. And well, all of a sudden, that's a SOS sign telling these other macrophages to come over and kill this cancer cell or this viral cell or whatever it wants to kill. Well, the problem is the other macrophages show up. Now you got 100 of these things lined up looking at this cell, but they don't have any D3 either. They can't turn on. So they release more cytokines. The cytokines bring over more macrophages. And it's called a cytokine storm when this happens. And when this happens, it causes the lungs to fill with fluid. And the person dies of pneumonia. It's from the cytokine storm. Now, that's as simple as I can make it. Now, from a chemical standpoint, it's a lot more complicated than that. But that's a really good metaphor to use. And so this is the thing that I always tell people. Keep your vitamin D levels. Get it tested at least 2 to 3 times a year. Keep them between 80 to 90 nanograms per milliliter. And you can do that with our product. It's 10,000 IUs of D3 with K2. Now, here's the problem. If you get high amounts of vitamin D3 in your blood, which you need to have, if you do not have K2 with it, that vitamin D will cause calcium to precipitate in your arteries, causing hardening of the arteries. That's a problem. The K2 stops that, and it puts the calcium back into the bones. It's so important. That's why it's D3, K2, 10,000 IUs. Now, you don't need to take but a couple of these a week. If you're healthy, you've got your D3 levels up. Now, if you do come down with a quote-unquote, let me say this in a nice way. Let me say it so we don't get censored on everything. If you have a viral load that enters your body, let's say you're being exposed to a cold or the flu, I'll leave it at that. You've got to go, wow, I've got to increase my D3 because these macrophages are going to be more active. Increase your vitamin D3. Start taking, you know, a few of those every single day. Increase your potassium iodine to about 60 milligrams a day. It goes into the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland is extremely vascular. And when it sees something come through like a viral load through the thyroid gland, it zaps it, you know, with iodine, and nothing can live through iodine. Increase your vitamin C levels. C is so important. You start feeling yourself come down with something, go immediately to the doctor's office that you found in advance that it will give you vitamin C intravenously and get 50,000 milligrams of vitamin D3. 50,000 milligrams of vitamin C intravenously. And what that will do is that will basically supercharge your immune system, because the vitamin C turns into hydrogen peroxide in the bloodstream, but don't be injecting hydrogen peroxide. Don't do that. And that vitamin C turning into hydrogen peroxide will kill all the other viral particles. And in addition to that, you need to take zinc.
Here's what Rachel Maddow from MSNBC just heard you say. Drink bleach. Okay, seriously. But no, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know, your protocol of that, and folks, even in this town, this city of Erie, we have one of those places, infusion centers. Okay, we do. Don't talk about it publicly, but we do. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Well, no, you know, the answer is don't drink bleach. It's chlorine. It'll kill you, okay? But the vitamin C converting into hydrogen peroxide is a natural process in the body that happens, and it'll kill any kind of viral load. It works really, really well. Take at least 100 milligrams of zinc every single day if you get sick. And, you know, and then make sure you take potassium iodide, D3K2, the zinc, the vitamin C. And if you have parasites, let me put it to you that way. It's so stupid. You got to say this. If you have parasites, you might want to take some ivermectin too, because now apparently you can't get a prescription for ivermectin unless it's for parasite use, which again stops the replication process of, I guess, parasites or viruses or whatever. And so, by the way, that's also a known treatment protocol, according to the National Institutes of Health, for coronavirus. But however, you're not supposed to talk about that or say that. And now they're saying that they've got other products out there that are substitute for ivermectin. Instead of being pennies a pill, they're $20, $30, $40, $200, or $300 for a treatment protocol, $700 for a treatment protocol. Again, it's about the pharmacia, which we are warned about in the book of Revelation, that's coming in to basically control the hearts and the minds of the people through drugs. And this is the same thing. We had 100,000 people die of opiate death last year in the United States, not including the 20, 30, 40, 50 million that are addicted to opiates right now in the United States as we speak, who take them on a regular basis. This is one of the problems that we have with the 100 million people that are unemployed in the United States right now. Yes, the number is about a third of the population is unemployed, have stopped looking for jobs. And these people, many of them, in many cases, are addicted to drugs, or they're just lazy in some cases, or they found ways around the corporate structures, or they found ways to get multiple roommates to pay the bills, et cetera, or they're getting subsidies to pay their rent, or they're being told they cannot be evicted from their places that they're living, and they've chosen not to work anymore. If you don't believe that, try to get some help. Try to get somebody to come do just minimal tasks for you. Try to get somebody to labor who work for labor. They don't show up anymore because they're getting government subsidies still. This is all part of Cloward and Piven.
We have that Cloward same problem. Piven. Yeah, I mean, Ted, let's not make. First of all, let's go to Table 2E. I sent it to you. What you were saying about ivermectin, NIH, and this is the very piece of paper, Ted. I don't want to gloss over this. This is National Institute of Health. This is the small g, or big, in their case, big G God over all of the doctors, at least around here. Hail to the FDA, NIH. Here it is. Okay, I tried to give this to my doctor. He said, I don't want to debate. I said, this is your stuff. This is from you, the people you take orders from. And look what's on there. What is that? Whoa, stop. You see that ivermectin? Oh, hey, horse paste is on there? Hey, liberals, anyone home? Hey, morons, there it is, NIH, table 2E, right there. And look at the adverse effects.
Snake oil.
Yeah, snake oil. So we got to bite the head off this snake. Snake oil. It's right there, you moron. Table 2E, National Institute of Health. Look at the adverse effects. Wait, do you see death there? Let me see. I don't see it, but go up to remdesivir, which is the top one. Let's see here. Look at those adverse effects. Holy moly! Is there death there? I think there might be death or somewhere as a side effect of remdesivir. If not, I've seen it up close and personal. There you go, Ted. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. I don't mean to overtake you, but I'm just PO'd at the end of the week. Go ahead, sir.
Well, no, I talked to you about this last night. You know, we went into detail and you told me about what happened to your doctor's office. And here's the thing. you know, back in 1933, you know, the Rockefeller Rothschild Medical Complex had already taken over the United States through petrochemical drugs. And it was interesting because in 1933, when the Frankfurt School started in Goethe University, originally in Moscow, it was a group of intellectuals that came into Frankfurt to basically start a think tank to figure out why the United States and why Germany had not fallen to cultural Marxism and basically be following Lenin and Stalin. And what they found was that, you know, the American population and the American on a hill that we had back then, as far as people looked to the United States for leadership, was the shining light that everybody wanted to be or go to America. And they knew they had to take the Republic of America down. And then in 1933, when Hitler took power and he was absolutely diametrically opposed to the communists, one of the only things that he ever said that was actually correct, he basically at that point knew, and they knew that they would be thrown out or locked up because of they were political dissidents and they were pushing communism. They left and went to Switzerland first, and then they a year later, so they went and fled to Columbia University, and they implemented cultural Marxism. They brought in hundreds of thousands of Russian communists, hardcore Marxists, Kabbalists, Luciferians, who basically at that point decided they were going to come into the educational system to undermine our country. And then they started teaching this cultural Marxism to the schools, to the medical schools, to the attorneys, to everybody else. And then they brought in Gloria Steinem, and we've talked about this at length. They brought in Playboy magazine. They brought in Hugh Hefner. And they brought in everything to undermine the fundamental core of the United States as far as being a Christian nation, because they wanted to destroy it, because they understood that they could not take over Russia properly. They could not take over anything properly if people were still having faith in Jesus Christ. And you see what happened with the USSR. The USSR was a complete and total abysmal failure because of Jesus, because the people there were primarily Orthodox Christians, Orthodox Church, and they didn't want to accept this heathen society that the Stalinists and the Leninists were bringing to them. And eventually the USSR fell. Well, then they said, well, we'll try it again. So the same Rothschild banking cartel went into China, and they implemented the communism in China, and China didn't have Jesus. They didn't have Christianity. And so they've been able to actually take cultural Marxism in China and turn that whole country into a bunch of peasant slaves. And now they're the ones who are using China as a template for the rest of the world, including the Chinese credit social score, social credit score. And this is what they're doing through us to the United States right now. I remember I took a lot of classes in college. In fact, I took several medical school classes and stuff when I was at Florida State University. And I remember the vast majority of the students that were basically going to medical school, they were all pretty smart. But the reality is vast majority of them could not think. They didn't have any common sense. They were good at memorizing formulas and memorizing test questions and getting specific tutors, because a lot of them were, their families were wealthy that hired tutors for them. And they got into medical schools and they were basically told this is the standard medical procedure that you have to do, and you can't deviate from that, nor can you think past it. This is exactly what happened to you the other day, Doug, when you took this stuff to your doctor. It's like he was culturally determined at a young age that he couldn't believe any of this. Let me give you an example. Until a child's about 8 years of age, from about 3 until about 8, they're in what's called the theta brainwave state, and they can't stop input. I'm gonna get some people really mad right now, and at this point, I really don't care anymore. And that means if they see something or you tell them something when they're 5 or 6 years old, they believe you because they don't have a filtration system, and they believe that you as an adult or the computer download person who's supposed to tell them how to live their life. And what happens is if you indoctrinate a child from the ages of 3 to 8, thinking that they're a transgender or thinking they're a boy when they're a girl or when they're a girl when they're a boy, or that homosexuality or pedophilia is okay, if you come back to them at the age of 25 and they were trained in the theta brainwave state that it's okay, they can't erase the programming in most cases. This is what we saw with Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in the book of Acts. He was running around breathing out murderous threats against the first century church after Jesus was resurrected, and basically said that he's going to kill all the Christians. And he had Stephen stone, actually held the garment while people were stoning Stephen in the book of Acts. And then all of a sudden God, you know, decides he's had enough of Saul of Tarsus. And remember, he's very educated, he had like a PhD in theology. He was a Pharisee. He was basically a priest for the Jews. He was way, 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 way up. He was like a rabbi. And so on the road to Tarsus, road to Damascus, you know, Jesus shows up, knocks Paul off the horse, Saul off the horse, and basically blinds him, just to put an exclamation point on what was going on. He said, why are you doing this? And Saul had a conversion to Christianity right on the spot. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, my gosh, you know, I've been persecuting the real God, the real Jesus. It was a slap upside of the head. That was about the only thing that could get Saul out of a theta brainwave programming that had happened to him as a child. Now, you probably never heard it put that way. But when God shows up, it has attention. It has a tendency to get your attention. And when Jesus showed up, who is God, part of the triune Godhead, it snapped Paul tight. And then he ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament, known as Apostle Paul. So we got to realize that programming is that strong. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you to become a Christian or to listen about what Jesus said or what God said, if you were trained in a theta brainwave state about all this weird stuff and it's okay, it's very difficult for you to change that in your mind. That's why it literally takes a direct intervention. The Holy Spirit has to come on you. The problem we have now is that preachers won't preach. You know, they're telling you that homosexuality is okay. I'm going to give you the perfect example. Right now, I've got a friend of mine who basically has a family. He has 3 sons, and one of his sons is dating a girl who's an extreme liberal. Now, my friend is a very strong Christian. His son's a very strong Christian. And the other night he came over to the house and I was talking to the son. He's like 21, 22 years old. And he's engaged to the liberal. They're planning on getting married. Now, let me give you all the caveats. The liberal has a brother who's a flaming homosexual. Flaming. And the sister loves the flaming homosexual, accepts him for who he is. He brings his boyfriend to family gatherings and they sit around in the corner and apparently are, well, you know what they do. And what ends up happening is the family has accepted it. Well, now my friend, who's a hardcore Christian like I am, has had enough and he and his son are getting these arguments all the time. So I asked him the other day, the boy came over to talk to me and I said, look, I got to ask you a few questions. I said, why are you dating a liberal? And why are you dating a liberal whose brother is a flaming homosexual? And he goes, well, she'll change once we get married. And I looked at him and I said, no, she won't. She was raised in a theta brainwave state that this is okay. She saw it from a childhood, from a young child, that her brother is gay and she doesn't have a problem with it. In fact, she allows this guy to her brother to come to family functions with her, with his boyfriend. And I said, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do if you've got a 5-year-old son? Are you going to let the homosexual babysit? Are you going to let the homosexual babysit with his boyfriend coming over with him and have them make out on the couch in front of the 5-year-old little son?
Well, why not? We already let him teach. We already let him into the Boy Scouts. We already let him into churches. So why not? You're just a racist. Homophobe. That's what you are. But go ahead.
I'm not scared of homos. I'm not a homophobe, and I'm definitely not a racist. I don't believe that our DNA is superior to anybody else. But I am a bigot.
I will
admit to that on the air. I am diametrically opposed to a lot of different people's value systems. That makes me bigoted towards them. So be it. I stand convicted. I don't care about what homosexuals do. I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to change it. Sodom and Gomorrah was here a long time ago, but they want to bring it into my home, into my household. And they want to force me to accept it and to endorse it. That's where I draw the line. The answer is no, hell no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do it. And see, this is what I tried to explain to that young man the other day. I said, where are you going to draw the line with your own children? I said, are you going to let the homosexual with his boyfriend babysit your young boy when he's young? And he goes, although that won't happen. I said, yeah, well. I said, you know, his sister's going to say it's okay. And then you're going to be in a giant fight. And I said, tell me about the coronavirus shot. He goes, well, I haven't taken a shot. I'm not taking that kill shot. It's a clot shot. I'm not going to do it. I said, has your fiance taken it? He goes, well, yeah, she took it. I started laughing. And I said, did you ask her not to? Well, yeah, I did. Then she took it anyhow. She goes, yeah. I said, okay. I said, why'd she take it? Well, her mother runs the family. Her mother told her to take it. So she took it. And I said to him, I said, you don't realize that once you get married to her, that this is going to be a little happy trio with you and her mom and you. And I said, she's going to be running the family. He goes, oh, no, that'll never happen. I said, it's already happening, but she already took the clot shot against your wishes. I said, now she may have sterilized herself because this stuff attacks the ovaries and the testicles. I said, where do you draw the line?
That's not necessarily a bad thing at that point, but okay, go on. Sorry.
The liberals sterilize themselves. Oh, yeah. Well. But the point is, you know, this is something that's going to be a dividing line with people that are real Christians for a long, long time until the entire church is compromised. Remember, back in the 30s when this Frankfurt School came in and they pushed their communist ideology and they basically credentialed all of these communists coming in from Russia, the Soviet Union, into our university system and gave them PhDs and all the different degrees they needed to teach at the university systems. They brought in cultural Marxism into our schools, which has now degraded the school systems to a point now where we're basically in a problem with the schools. And now they're having freedom of speech issues in schools because if you say something like, I don't like cultural Marxism, you're a bigot, you're a racist, get out, I'm going to throw you out of school. Well, that's where it is right now. And what they did, it was interesting. They decided years ago that they weren't going to allow the parent who's paying the bills for college to talk to the administration about the student and what's going on. So in other words, you have to sign a paper and the student has to sign a paper that you basically don't have any access to their grades or anything else while they're in school. That was all done by the cultural Marxists so they would not know what was happening to your child. In other words, if your child's making bad grades and you're paying the bill, you can't go check. You don't know what grades they're making. Unless they show you a copy of the transcript, you're hosed. You're going to be paying the bill and not having any idea what the student's doing because they're told that they have rights. They're 17, 18, 19 years old in college. You're paying a lot of money for them to be there. But the major university says you cannot know what's going on here. You cannot be told what's going on here unless you have permission of the 17-year-old or the 18-year-old or the 19-year-old. And hence, this is why so many students flunk out their freshman year of college. And then you try to get information because you're paying the bills. They told you, no information, you peasant. We don't care. Send us your money and shut up and pay for your liberal educational system. And that's throughout all the schools now, including the Christian schools that take government funding. This is what's happened to the United States. We've stopped teaching little Americans how to be Americans. My dad said to me one time, Doug, my dad was born in 1901. And that's, no, I didn't make a mistake. 1901, he'd be 121 years old now. And what was interesting about this, 120 years old, what was interesting is he told me once, he says, you know why Rome fell, Ted? And I looked at him, I said, no, Dad, I really don't. I guess it was the barbarians came in. He goes, no. Their military strength was beyond belief. He goes, they could have withstood anything. They were there for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know why Rome fell? And I said, well, no, Dad, tell me. It's because they stopped raising little Romans. And then he proceeded to warn me about the Federal Reserve System. And he told me one time, do you realize who owns everything? And I said, well, the people who own the houses. No, he said, the banks do. He said, the same thing they did in 1929. He said, they contracted the money supply. And they caused all these family farms to go out of business. He goes, in fact, my father, which is my grandfather, had 1,500 acres that he was farming that were leveraged. And he couldn't make the payments anymore because the money got so tight. He had to break the farm up into 300-acre segments for the five children to work so they could work it themselves. My dad had to quit school and all the other things he had to do in order to work on the farm. They managed to maintain the farm because they broke it up into segments. But see, this is what they did. It was a giant land grab in 1929 where they contracted the M1 money supply. But remember, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, they all knew what they were going to do in advance. Because remember, the Rockefeller-Rothschild interests were so intertwined in 1920 to 1930 that you couldn't even tell if it was a Rothschild corporation or a Rockefeller corporation. In fact, it was the Rockefeller-Rothschild corporations that came in and set up the concentration camps in Germany. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys. And have you ever wondered why Standard Oil processing plants in Germany were told, the Allies were told they could not bomb Standard Oil processing plants in Germany where they had advanced technology, including turning coal into fuel oil, into diesel? They weren't allowed to bomb any of those facilities because they were owned by the Rockefeller-Rothschild banking complex and they didn't want to destroy the technology. The whole thing, there's a video that you all need to watch. It's called From JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. Now, instead of wasting time watching Netflix every night with a bunch of perverted homosexual shows they put out, or watching this mess with Amazon they put on, with the Prime TV they have and all the other things that so many people do now, take your TV set and basically put 9/11, JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man trick. It's a 3.5-hour video and watch it over a period of a couple nights. And watch it and really pay attention to what they say. It's very well documented. It also goes into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And it talks about the Rockefeller-Rothschild Standard Oil intrusion into the United States through the oligarchs. And this is the thing that people need to get. If we don't understand who's running the United States right now, we can't fix it. And these guys with Klaus Schwab, you own nothing by 2030 and you'll be happy. This guy is a nightmare. He's a hardcore Kabbalist Luciferian, and he wants to bring us into a new world order under a Kabbalist dictatorship. There's only about 200,000 of these guys on the planet, and they believe they're going to get 2,500 quote unquote slaves when everybody gets, you know, down to the population where they want, which is 500 million, which if you take the 200,000 times the 2,500, that's about 500 million people left on the planet. This is the group that runs the world. And Doug, you're absolutely right. If we don't stand against this, we're going to fall to this because the United States has already been slated to be dissolved at this point. The petrodollar is coming to an end. It's dropped to what, 0.75 now on Swiss francs, which is a huge fall. It's dropped 25-30%. And people say, well, should you invest in Swiss francs? Well, I don't like that because what happened a few years ago with the Swiss National Bank back in 2008, 2009, when the United States currency was really getting hit on the international markets, a lot of people invested in Swiss francs, and all of a sudden the Swiss National Bank decided overnight one time, they actually did this, they're going to decrease the value of the Swiss franc by 10% because tourism had almost stopped in Switzerland. And when that happened, anybody who had invested in Swiss francs automatically lost 10%. You say, well, that doesn't make that much difference, 10%. Well, 10% is a lot. If you got $100,000, you just lost $10,000 overnight. And they didn't care. They didn't care. They just devalued their currency. Hardcore assets like gold, silver, land, blue chip stocks, big corporations, not Bitcoin, not all the rest of this stuff that could be manipulated. Hardcore assets are how the people in Germany through the Weimar Republic made it. My mom was in Germany. She was born in 1916. She saw the rise and fall of the Third Reich. She saw what happened in Germany when they were paying $40 billion, Doug, for one loaf of bread, 40 billion marks. For one loaf of bread. She said the black market went nuts. Gold, silver, nylon stockings, chocolate, coffee, all of this stuff went nuts as far as its value. And it was sold and bartered and traded as they destroyed Germany in the early 20s with the hyperinflation of the currency, which brought out, remember that, the international bankers who were controlling Germany both before and after World War I, who were the ones who were involved in the Versailles Treaty and the sanctioning of Germany. They're the ones who did all of this stuff. There's a really good video you can watch. It's on the Illuminati, which I don't like that term. I'd rather say the guys who took down Building 7. That makes more sense on 9/11. But if you take this video, it's by Myron Fagan, M-Y-R-O-N-F-A-G-A-N. He was a playwright out in Hollywood, and he put a whole bunch of letters together and records together back in the 60s. Myron Fagan, the Illuminati, watch it. And he'll go into detail on who did the Versailles Treaty, why they did the Versailles Treaty, and how the international banking communities completely and totally manipulated everything, including bringing us the League of Nations to bring us into a one world government with that syphilis-infected Woodrow Wilson, who basically was completely and totally manipulated by these guys.
Well, I mean, Wilson was covered, that whole administration, Wilson administration, Edith ran this show. Just so you folks, look that up, Edith Wilson. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to make sure people understand that. You're right. The guy was a doorstop. Wilson was a doorstop there, especially at the end. Edith Wilson ran the show. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did.
That's exactly right. And since we're talking about it, let's step it back. Samuel Untermeyer, who was working for the Rothschild banking community, he basically approached Wilson when he was put into the White House with an affair that he'd had at Princeton. And the girl had gone to Samuel Untermeyer, supposedly, which I don't believe. I believe that was all orchestrated around them both. And basically, it was going to blackmail Woodrow Wilson in order to basically get him out of the office. And Woodrow Wilson said, well, what do you want? I'm paraphrasing this. I wasn't at the meeting. And what they ended up doing was getting Brandish onto the Supreme Court, which got the United States into World War I a few years later. And number two, he basically got the Federal Reserve Order passed and also income tax passed. This is all through Samuel Untermeyer and Woodrow Wilson. Now, I'm going to start. These are just statistical facts that happen. These are events that happen. So don't get mad at me. This stuff happened. It is what it is. Samuel Untermeyer was a hardcore Zionist, and he wanted a reforming of Israel, basically to precipitate, because he was a Kabbalist, the formation of the Third Temple to bring in the Antichrist. It's got to go here today. We got to have to talk about this. And so what ended up happening is he pushed a guy by the name of Samuel, the Scofield Reference Bible, who was another guy who had copied a lot of Darby stuff into existence through the Oxford Press, into the high circles of the New York elite back in the early 1900s, forcing the Scofield Reference Bible, which pushed Zionism and the reformation of Israel, to the international masses through the Scofield Reference Bible. And then what happened is in about 1933, the same Samuel Untermeyer, in order to precipitate World War II, declared war on Germany on WABC, you know, in New York. You guys can look it all up and you can read the entire transcript of what he said. And that created tremendous anti-Semitism in Germany, which created a field of people who wanted to get out of Germany, get out of Europe, who wanted to repopulate Israel. And that's exactly what happened in the 40s. And we understand all of these things now in retrospect of how they happened and what they did. That's why you really need to watch that video from JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. And you can go ahead and look at all the stuff happened with Woodrow Wilson. Then at the end of his presidency, he basically ended up with a stroke. He ended up having, he had venereal disease. He was sick. And he ended up having his wife run the entire White House because he was affected with syphilis. And all of these things happened in like a 10, 12 year period from like 1908 to like 1922. And people need to realize that Wilson ran the second time. He was never going to put our boys into World War One. And he did. He put them in as soon as he got, reelected. He put them into World War One, pushed the Lusitania narrative in order to basically force the United States into the war. And what's interesting with the Lusitania, because I've been there at the cemetery over in England where they buried these boys. And the thing that's so interesting about all of this stuff is that the German people, the German government put a full page, like not with a full page ad, but an ad in the New York paper not to get on any ships of war that were basically carrying armament against Germany because they were going to be considered military combatant vessels. And if you watch it, if you read the entire narrative of what happened to Lusitania, it could outrun any submarine. It was super fast. But what it did, it went down to crawl speed. I mean, it was literally moving at one or two knots. And this German submarine captain saw it. He knew that it was carrying armaments, put one torpedo into it. It hit the armaments by luck. And that thing sunk in like 15 minutes with killing a whole bunch of people. It was all precipitated to bring the United States into World War One. Do the research and look at it. And we could also go into the sinking of the Titanic and a whole bunch of other stuff that happened, which was the, John Jacob Astor. He was the founder of, he owned a big section of New York City. He was on the Titanic along with a lot of other industrialists that were diametrically opposed to the formation of a Federal Reserve Bank in the United States. And so they would use their vast fortunes to stop it. And suddenly two or three of these guys are like on the Titanic when it sinks. And for the first time in naval history, men weren't allowed to get on lifeboats and women didn't want to get on without their husbands. They put these lifeboats out pretty much empty and women and children were allowed. Men were kept off at gunpoint and John Jacob Astor died on the Titanic, who was opposed to the Federal Reserve Bank. And right after that, the Federal Reserve Bank happened here in the United States. All of that stuff is history, but most people don't want to talk about it because it's boring. Because you had some unbelievably boring history professor in college. History doesn't have to be boring. It can be very informative and teach you exactly what happened and why they did what they did. But guys, listen to me. All of this stuff has been orchestrated to bring in a third temple. They want their Antichrist. I was watching a show years ago on Max Messler Decoded. And I've posted this many times on our website at healthmasters.com on our news site. And it's called The Spear of Destiny. And this is a very interesting video that you need to watch. In fact, I'll post it back up again on the Health Masters website so you don't have to look for it. And what was interesting about this is they were trying to find the Spear of Destiny. Now, the Spear of Destiny is the sword, the spear that was plunged into Jesus' side on the cross in order to make sure he was dead. And it had the blood of Christ on it. And for years, for centuries, it was said that if an army carried the Spear of Destiny before it, it could not be defeated. Well, Hitler wanted to find the Spear of Destiny. It was in an Austrian museum, and he took it. But then somebody stole it from Hitler. That's to make the first 50 minutes of the show, you summarize it. What happened is Max Messler found the guy who was a bodyguard for the world elite, and he basically said that he had a story to tell Max Messler. And so they came together in a Christian church under a cross for this story with the film crew. And this guy was a bodyguard for the elite, and he said that his boss could walk into the White House, basically have an appointment, sit down with the president pretty much anytime he wanted. And that one day they were having a meeting in a hotel and the bodyguards were left out of the meeting. They were downstairs in the bar having drinks. And one of the guys says to Max Messler, "Do you know who your boss is?" And he goes, "Well, yeah." And he goes, "Well, do you know that he's the one who stole the Spear of Destiny from Hitler?" This is all on the History Channel, guys. Watch it yourself. And he goes, "These guys run the world. And they consider themselves to be the Benigni Nephilim, sons of the fallen, sons of Lucifer, sons of the fallen angels." okay? And that they have run and orchestrated world events for, you know, for centuries, and that they want to basically rebuild a third temple and take their man, their Antichrist, into the Holy of Holies and pierce him, not kill him, just bleed him out, you know, have him drop blood on the altar in the back and declare himself God and walk out and basically rule the planet. And these guys are so committed to that, they will die for it. Guys, this is the Kabbalist group that runs the planet. This is who they are. And they exposed them on the History Channel, and you guys can watch it. And I have been telling everybody this stuff for, gosh, 20 years. And it's finally, people are starting to realize, hey, this is the single thread that weaves through all of this stuff that ties these pieces together. They've taken like a giant spider web, what they've done, this giant spider web, and it's a nucleus of the international banking cartel Kabbalist Luciferians. And what they do is they twang that spider web all over the place, where all these different legs of it. And so you're always confused. We've got the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. We've got the Jeffrey Epstein trial. We've got, you know, the Smollett trial. We've got all of this. And it's just on and on and on. They're constantly twanging pieces all over the spider web, especially with politics. So you don't look at the center of the web to see who's running this. And what they want to do is they want to take this group of international Kabbalists who basically have human sacrificial rituals. That's Jim Caviezel. He'll tell you. He did it and told everybody that last year, got eviscerated for it. They want to take these people here and connect them into a D-Wave computer to create a hive mind with the entire population through an internet interface to allow Lucifer, who is not omnipresent, to rule and reign the world and control the thoughts of everybody all of the time. The problem is there's too many pesky Christians running around, and they've got to eliminate the Christians, and they got to eliminate the white people. They got to eliminate the black people that are basically patriots and Christians, and the Hispanics that are patriots and Christians. They want to get rid of everybody who's a patriot and Christian. This is why they're bringing in huge amounts of Hispanics in from Central and South America on airplanes in the middle of the night. People don't realize this. There's literally 1,000 airports in the United States that are, a lot of them are capable of handling DC-3s, bringing in a lot of people or other types of aircraft like that on that have short-based runways. I mean, it's amazing how many airplanes and airports there are in the United States. And they're being distributed throughout the United States to change the demographics, make us more of a quote-unquote democratic state like here in Florida. Let me give you a perfect example. Right across the street from me, just that direction, about a mile, they put a huge subdivision in. And in front of the subdivision, they put in a giant group of mini warehouses. Now, Austin and I have said repeatedly, and we have gone to the county repeatedly and to the city repeatedly, we don't want mini warehouses in our neighborhood. Didn't make one bit of difference. And suddenly, even though there's shortages of block, shortages of shingles, shortages of wood, shortages of window, shortages of carpeting, they put in a 500-unit housing complex that way, about 1 mile. And suddenly, they're building houses left over right with no shortages of anything. And half that subdivision is completely sold out. They're all pretty much there already, the ones that they've built. Last Sunday, a week ago, Sharon and I drove into the subdivision because we wanted to see it. These are nice homes. And I couldn't believe all of the yards had, not all of them, about 80% of the yards had like trash, like paper and garbage laying in the yards. And I thought, this is odd for a new subdivision. So I rolled the windows down. I'm driving down the road. It's Sunday afternoon. And there's all these people standing out in the front yards and talking Spanish. Not one of them was speaking English. Not one person in that entire subdivision that I heard was speaking English. And they were all Hispanic. Now, I'm not picking on Hispanics. I've got a lot of friends who are Hispanic and a lot of whites who are, you know, friends, and a lot of blacks who are friends. Don't say I'm being racist by saying that. I'm just saying that everybody spoke Spanish.
Racist.
My question is this. How do they qualify for the loans? These are beautiful homes. Now, they've already trashed the neighborhood, but the homes are beautiful. Why in the world, how in the world do they qualify for all of these mortgages? Remember what Klaus Schwab said? By 2030, you own nothing and you love it. Who's paying for this? And I guarantee you, if you dig under the ditch far enough with this group of investors that did this, it's BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and the Bloodline families, again, bringing these people in from other countries in our neighborhood to make the United States more democratic, more communist is what they want, because almost everybody down there in Central and South America, because of Operation Condor, was raised under, underneath communism and socialism. And we did that, by the way, with our CIA, Operation Gladio in Europe and Operation Condor in South America. The United States CIA did this crap, an extension of Operation Paperclip.
I really want people to dig down deep into these Don't let this fall aimlessly, okay? You heard this, Operation Condor, Operation Gladio. Look these operations up, understand this, as well as what Ted said about the film from JFK to 9/11, the Richard Nixon. Right, okay, I think I said that. Yeah, please watch that and look this up. Since Ted is not going to push his supplement line today, I am. Because I care about you, because we, you know, look, we've got about 15 listeners to this program. And if I lose any more, the demographics are going to shift. And, you know, it's a big headache with the, yeah. Anyway, so go to healthmasters.com. I'm kidding about that. But go to healthmasters. That I'm not kidding about. Healthmasters.com. And I've got to tell you, you can actually not only see, but feel the difference with respect to the products. You look at the products, compare them to other products. And I've seen the labs that make these, and I'm a big proponent of this. You know, Ted, I'll tell you what, I think you really saved my life. I really do. And I know that you saved my wife's life. You know, and I'm not saying that stupidly. I'm saying that because I've seen the results. Go to healthmasters.com and get your stuff together, okay? If you have to, oh, I don't know. And not get a cup of coffee from your favorite coffee shop this week, then because, you know, you have to reallocate the money to a quality supplement. Do that. Do that. Plus, they've got food buckets as well. Healthmasters.com. You know, I want to hear from you, Ted, that this weekend, over the weekend here, as we enter into the weekend, that you... you've been busier than ever, because we need to make sure our immune system's up. We got about 8 minutes left. Go ahead, Ted.
Thank you, Doug. But anyhow, so but I want to cover that, because Doug's right about Operation Condor and Operation Gladio. Yeah, forgive me for being negligent as far as promoting product, as far as supplements. Here's how I look at the whole thing with the supplements. We make a really good product. You guys know that. If you want to support Doug Hagman, which we support this show with Doug, and we support our show, and we support Dave Hodges, if you want to support us, get your toothpaste and your multiple vitamin from us. I mean, that's all we ask you to do. I mean, if you just do that, you'll fund pretty much all these shows. It's that important, because we make a really high quality product. If I can make a better product, than I would. Our powder multiple is the best of the best. I've never, to be honest with you, if I could have made a better product than that, I don't even know how to do it. It's that good, along with our multiple capsules. In addition to that, our B vitamins are methylated. They're amazing. Our D3 comes, you know, with a 10,000 IU, which most of the time you buy D3, it's like 200 IUs. Ours is 10,000 IUs. It's like taking 50 capsules of the 200 IU. I mean, it's that strong, and we put the K2 in there with it. In addition to that, the vitamin C is amazing. The zinc is amazing. The potassium iodine, you can it's almost impossible to find potassium iodine in 12.5 milligram dosing. It's always going to be in micrograms.
That glows in the dark. I'm kidding about that. But what do you take potassium iodine for? Because I take it, and I'm not sure why I take it, but I take it because you have it, so I take it. So why?
It really helps stabilize and help maintain healthy blood sugar. Plus, in addition to that, it really helps to maintain your immune system. And so, and you need about 12.5 milligrams a day. In fact, women who use it have a much, much, much lower incident of breast cancer on the average. It's like that first slide you showed that showed how the people that had a high enough level of vitamin D3 pretty much recovered from COVID. You know, I had a good friend of mine. In fact, I'll give you his name. I've talked about him. He's been on the show before. His name's Mancow. He's from Chicago. He came down with COVID a few weeks ago, and he got really sick. And he called me up, and he's been taking the Health Master supplements. And I said, have you been taking the supplement? He goes, yes. I said, all right, increase them this amount. So I told him how to increase it. He goes, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And about 4 days later, he calls me and he goes, I feel great. I feel better. I'm better. I said, yeah, you're fine. The problem happens is when you have a deficiency of vitamin D3 before you come down with COVID and you're trying to build it up in your system, your system's already compromised. You're already massively deficient on D3 and your body's already starting to fill its lungs up with fluid. And now you're trying to dump the D3 in. It doesn't work. I had another friend of mine who died a few months ago. His name was Jimmy. And I'll never forget this. And it's sad to me because it's a sad story. I called him up on a Friday. The Holy Spirit checked me to call him on a Friday. Hadn't talked to him in probably a couple of years. And he said to me, he goes, I'm getting a little bit of a head cold. My sinuses are stopped up because I'm not sure what to do. And I said, well, that could be the onset of COVID. You really need to increase these supplements. And he goes, well, my wife has vitamins. And she'll give me what I need. I said, no, Jimmy, it's really important. You increase these supplements now. Well, He refused to do it. In fact, I even offered to bring him some Health Masters products over. He's a good friend. I was just going to give them to him for free. He's about an hour drive one way. I mean, I was going to go way out of my way to do this for him. Nope, I don't need it. My wife's got it. I said, okay, whatever. About a week later, I called him back. He goes, oh, I can't believe how sick I am. Now, the guy had he was obese. He's 100 pounds overweight. He goes, I can't believe how sick I am. I can't believe how bad I feel. And I said, I'm really sorry. I said, you better get on the supplements. He said, oh, well, I think I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I said, oh, gosh, Jimmy, don't let him put you on Remdesivir. So I sent him and his wife multiple studies on Remdesivir, how within 5 days it causes kidney failure, within 10 days, cascading organ failure. They didn't listen. He ended up going on the Remdesivir, got unbelievably sick. He told me the nurse came in. He's still talking to me after the Remdesivir. He lived through the first cycle of Remdesivir. And he said, the nurse came in and she was holding my hand and she goes, man, you're really strong. Most people are dead by now. I mean, what the heck, Doug? She says, most people are dead by now? And I'm like, what the heck, Jimmy? Quality. I said, you got to get out of there. And yeah. Then he pleaded with me to get him out of the hospital. And I said, I can't do that. I'm not, you have to get your wife to do all that. Well, it ended up a week later, they put him on another, well, here's the irony. They put him on intravenous vitamin C after his first dosing of Remdesivir, which means they had it available. Then they basically got him strong again on the vitamin C, and they put him on another dosing of Remdesivir. It's the best way I could figure out what they did to him. And they killed him the second time. And then I spoke at his funeral. Now, is that what we're going to have happen to all these people? I don't know. A lot of people are going to die this year, guys. And I had another friend of mine. His name was Bob. He's a contractor. And he called me up, or I talked to him a few months back, and he told me he had gotten the shot and got the booster shot. And I said, look, if you're going to do all that, you better be taking vitamin C, vitamin E to thin that blood. You better be taking N-acetylcysteine. You better be taking HGH stimulate, nitric oxide, maintain the elasticity of these blood vessels to mitigate spike protein damage. And he said, the guy was funny. He's a Jewish fellow. He's a good friend. And I'll never forget. He started yelling at me. And I said, why are you yelling at me? I'm not going to spend money on vitamins. Started yelling, Doug. I thought, well, Bob, I got to go. So I hung up. Well, he died last week. They found him dead in his bed, massive stroke, you know, one of the side effects of the clot shot. And, you know, I thought myself, here he is, this wealthy contractor, dead. I'm not going to spend money on vitamins, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, don't. I can't make people listen. I can't make people take care of themselves. I can't make people lose weight. I mean, I've got another friend of mine. He's 40 years old. He's 100 pounds overweight. And I told him the other day, I said, when are you going to grow up? I said, when are you going to grow up and stop eating so much junk? I said, if you come down with this COVID stuff, I said, you're 100 pounds overweight. That's called a comorbidity. It's called obesity. I said, you're probably going to die from it. I said, it's not okay. But some reason, Doug, people take their health for granted. They take it as standard equipment, like you get it on an automobile, and they don't think about it until it's gone. I've seen it over and over. They'll go out and spend $50, $100, $200 on a pair of tennis shoes, but I think it's a waste. And then, but they won't buy. What is a vitamin D? $20 for D3 for 10,000 IUs? It's cheap.
When you can't breathe, I'll tell you what. When you can't breathe, you will pay anything to get your breath back, right? It's that simple. Right. We have 2 minutes left. I got to tell you, Ted, this is always, and this program will be, of course, available throughout the weekend. It'll be replayed on Global Star. Just what Ted Brewer said, and Ted, hang with me here as we close this out. Just what you said here today, you've covered the fact that the globalists, you named them, the fact that they unleashed a bioweapon to advance their objectives. Now,
they did.
Now you told people where to source this through the videos.
I did.
Okay, and then you told people how to protect themselves through products. Yes. Products. So what else is there to talk about, folks? Isn't it great? You get all the information right here. So here's what I'm planning on doing this weekend. I'm going to come down there. You don't know that Ted is an accomplished fighter pilot, okay? I'm joking, of course. Not really. But we're going to put a turd on your plane. Let's go up, pick up Mancow, and then we're going to strafe the morons from D.C. with our 50 cal, right? Or whatever. I don't even know what. But you get
Doug is being facetious.
Yes, I am. Because I'm going to get an email saying, you're not really going to do that, are you? Or maybe somebody will say, hey, pick me up on your way over. But anyway, Ted, I want to thank you, man. You and Austin, by the way, I miss Austin. He's off this week, and Ted, of course, filling in for him. He's you're a great guy, man. We could do like 10 hours of radio and video, I'm telling you. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. Ted, you got 15, I'm going to give you 15 seconds because Eric's going to pull the plug. 15 seconds.
Oh, well, I forgot. We have a coupon code, Doug5.
There you go.
I forgot. I mean, I'm terrible at promoting my own product. You know why? Because I want you guys to do what you want to do. I'm not going to try to coerce you. I don't do that. Doug5,
yep.
5% off anything we have on the website except for the kits and the ones that are already on sale. I love you guys. I prayed for you this morning, by the way. I really appreciate you. And I pray that God continues to bless you and keep you and allows his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, grant you grace, mercy, peace, prosperity, and I pray for resolve that you stand against tyranny. I love you guys. Thanks for having me on, Doug.
Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Thank you, Ted. You are the man. Folks, go to healthmasters.com right now. And by the way, make sure you listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's on the upper right there on the webpage at healthmasters.com. Click on that and you will be forever grateful. Have a great weekend, folks. Great night, great weekend.